You're listening to the Patriots All 22 podcast with Evan Lazar and Adam Kirkchen.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Well, everyone has Red Sox fever, I am sure, as we are watching David Price potentially pick a gem. I'm going to jinx it right here on the podcast, but we're going to talk about football here for a little bit. As everyone knows, the Patriots are still playing football games as the Red Sox make their run, hopefully towards the World Series, Adam Kirkchen. But coming off a big win against Kansas City, it kind of feels like this Patriots team, as they so often get on in the regular season, are starting to get on one of those roles that they are almost invincible.
Yeah, it's the thing about that Chiefs game is a lot of people will talk about the defense and the breakdowns and coverage and stuff like that. That Chiefs team is so good on offense. There are so many tip your cap plays.
Yeah.
Or like tip your cap throws to Mahomes.
Yeah.
And we're able to make a couple plays in the first half, like either, you know, forcing field goals that would have been touchdowns or making interceptions that, you know, ended up, you know, making a difference at the end of the game. So anytime you play a team that talented, and obviously Mahomes make a huge difference with that team as opposed to Alex Smith. And I think you can sort of say that Andy Reid validated his decision with the way they're playing right now. So, but yeah, it's just a great win for the Pats, and they're starting to round into form.
Yeah, it's funny because if Pat Mahomes, just assuming that he was always this good, because you don't just get this good overnight, it must have been pretty crazy to watch practice last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, where every single time Mahomes probably took first team reps, everybody was probably like, this guy's better than the starter. So, you know, I bet you it was not as hard of a decision in the building as maybe some made it out to believe outside the building. Cause I bet you the coaches knew that Pat Mahomes was the real deal and was, you know, much better than Alex Smith. And I think that, you know, one of those tip the cap throws was that, I think it was actually towards the end of the first half where he threw across his body, one leg to Tyreek Hill in the middle of the field, just an absolute dart. I mean, there were just so many throws in that second half and so many plays specifically by Tyreek Hill where, I mean, Belichick after the game was just like, he's the most explosive player I've ever coached against. A lot of the players were saying he's the most, you know, the fastest player they've ever played against. So at some point in time, you just got to tip your cap. Obviously, like you said, you know, you can talk about the breakdowns, the Hill TD, the long one, the 75-yarder. There was definitely better things that the Patriots defense could have done to defend that. Obviously, the Hunt touchdown was kind of the same, where, you know, you could definitely have better defense on that one as well with Jason McCourty. But overall, I mean, they were going to score points. The first half, the Patriots did enough in the red zone, especially to kind of put the pressure. And I thought, really just watching it live, that they kind of rattled Mahomes a little bit in the first half.
Yeah.
They gave him some looks that he hadn't seen before and some blitzes especially that he hadn't seen before. And that kind of rattled him a little bit. And he kind of settled down in the second half. But I think that the defense did its job in the first half to get them out to that lead. And that's like kind of what they rode to the win. But overall, I mean, I've been to a bunch of football games in my life. That was one of the best football games I've ever been at. I mean, that was back and forth. Even if you don't like, shootouts like that one was, there was even some plays on the defensive side of the ball for the Patriots where they made plays. So the Chiefs defense didn't make too many plays, but the Patriots defense made a few to kind of make it, you know, a little bit less one-sided. But we are going to move on to an opponent that looks very similar, I would say, to the Kansas City Chiefs, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and that's the Chicago Bears. Obviously, we're talking about head coach Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs last year and has really had a long history with Andy Reid. But before we get into the Bears and kind of, you know, break that game down X's and O's wise, I want to talk to you about, you know, getting off to a better start on the road and winning a road game. I mean, this team is 0-2 on the road with two real duds in Jacksonville and in Detroit.
Yeah, I do feel like it's almost been two different seasons so far, even though it's very early in the season. I feel like at the beginning of the season, the team wasn't really clicking that well. And I kind of feel like this will be a tough game. It'll be a tough road game. Chicago actually has some reason for optimism right now, and that's a great football town. So I think it'll be a great atmosphere for Chicago. But I do kind of feel like this team has a better sense of what it can do and what it can't do right now. And I think when they have that, they'll be better wherever they play. So, I have a better sort of idea that, that they're not going to go in and lay an egg like the Detroit game. Like even the Houston game that was at home at the beginning of the year didn't feel right. What I mean? So
that Houston team was bad that day.
Yeah.
They really played a horrible game.
So I feel like the Patriots are just playing better right now, and I'd be shocked if they played like they did in some of those other games.
Yeah, I think that the Patriots on the offensive side of the ball are really returning back to being a juggernaut. I think that with Edelman back, with Josh Gordon obviously now in the fold, and them really getting back to being able to establish that power running game has really kind of opened up the whole playbook for Josh McDaniels. And Belichick talked about it on the Belistrator, on the Belichick breakdown with Zolak, where, the running game and the passing game complement each other. And right now they're complementing each other so well, to the point where Sony's seeing more opportunities because he's getting more space and seeing less loaded boxes because the passing game is playing well, and the passing game is seeing more opportunities because Sony's running well. So yeah, you have those both working, and it really can pay huge dividends for the team. So I don't think that we'll see the slow starts offensively that we saw, especially in Detroit with 2-3 and outs right off the top of the game. That really puts you behind the eight ball, and the players in the locker room today and yesterday are really talking about kind of finding their own energy on the road. You get the home fans at Gillette Stadium where you can kind of feed off of their energy, and that gets your compete level, your energy level up. I think that they were saying that on the road, especially in the first two road games of this year, they've been struggling with kind of matching that home team energy level because they don't have the fans to feed off of. So they kind of have to create it themselves. And I think that they know that now, and hopefully they come out with a little bit more energy. I think it's interesting, though. I mean, not that they haven't talked about this getting off to fast starts in the past, but it does feel like it's more of a point of emphasis this year than it has been in past years. I think in past years when they really like their team, they kind of feel like we can be, any type of deficit, any type of thing going on, and we're going to come back and win the game. This team, I think, probably because their defense, they know, is going to give up some points. They really feel like they need to get off to fast starts offensively so that they can get out to leads and make those teams one-dimensional, which really helps the defense. When you make a team one-dimensional, that they're going to pass the ball the whole rest of the game or something like that. You're able to really pin your ears back with the pass rush, and you're not worried about the run as much, and you're able to go from there. I think that, I'm not saying that Belichick is necessarily indicting the defense with that message, but I think that they realize that they're probably going to win a lot more games this year with their offense than with their defense.
Yeah, I agree. And, I think the defense obviously still a work in progress, but that's what I like about this week's game is you get right back into it with another sort of creative offense with skilled players that can hurt you.
Yeah.
I guess this
seems like we're talking about that every week. Yeah. RPO, skill players all over the field, running backs that can catch the ball like Tyreek Cohen. It's like every team has these guys now.
Yeah, and it feels like the Bears are such a versatile offense right now. I guess we're segueing into that. But
yeah,
I feel like I got a chance to watch most of the Dolphins game when it happened. You always got the sense that the Bears would have a counterpunch if they fell behind. And I just like what they do. I don't necessarily think Trubisky is some kind of game changer, but I think he can operate well in this offense. And I feel like they've got, especially their running backs. I really love their backs. I love Cohen and Howard. They just complement each other so well. And they can, they can hurt you a number of different ways. So I think in that sense, being on the road, facing an offense like this, it's such a great test and an opportunity for the Patriots to show what they've gotten better at.
Yeah, so I think that, Trubisky we kind of wanted to touch on the offense and Trubisky. And I think that with Trubisky, I'm a little bit like hesitant to say that I'm sold on him being, you know, the guy type guy. You know, I think that he can be a starting quarterback in this league, and he will be for a long time. But I mean, I think the thing is that right now, they're kind of succeeding on offense at times in spite of Trubisky. In reality, the Tampa game, he played really well, but it was also against Tampa, who's probably the worst defense in the league. The other four games of their season, he hasn't really played well. And they have so many good skill players, and Nagy's so good as a coordinator, as a schemer, that they're getting away with it, because really all they need him to do is be, you know, a point guard and just get the ball out to these guys and just not anchor the offense, you know, not bring the offense down. And they're still averaging, you know, over 27 points per game because he's been able to do that. And, you know, one thing that, you know, this offense kind of takes after the Kansas City offense in so many ways, obviously the RPO is a big one, but I think that downfield passing and really allowing Trubisky to do what he does best, which is throwing the deep ball, it has really opened up this offense. And they have so many guys that they brought in. I really thought that, you know, their offseason moves of Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton have been massive for this offense. And they were really great moves because they fit so well into this scheme. Trey Burton obviously fits into that Travis Kelce role. He's not as good as Kelce, but he's kind of got that same skill set. And Taylor Gabriel, kind of the same thing. Not as good as Tyreek Hill, but just as fast maybe, and has that same type of explosiveness. So they really have built a Kansas City Midwest, so to speak, there in Chicago, and they have a better defense. They just have a worse quarterback right now, and their skill player Burton and Gabriel are good players, but they're not Hill and Kelce.
No, I feel like you said, it's such a good scheme, and you know, like for me, it revolves around how well the running backs play, and I think they're just, those guys are just so consistent. You can do so many different things with Cohen and Howard. It's just such a, I mean, he it never looks like he's running fast, but he's always going forward and getting yards, and you know, the way they complement each other just is really fun to watch. So yeah, I think it'll be a good test, and it's enough of a test where the Patriots can say if they, you know, really, you know, slow this team down or shut them down, it'll show, you know, real progress in how far they've come just from the beginning of the year till now.
Yeah, absolutely. Rafael Devers just hit a 3-run dinger, and you know, right, I'm like trying not to go crazy right now, but I think that you know, with this Bears offense. Let's talk about Trubisky, because I think that, you know, he's a guy that really didn't start a whole lot of college games, 13 college starts. He comes into the league last year, was kind of a lost season, a lot to do with the coaching and the personnel around him just not being good enough. And then this year, I think that, you know, the one thing that I see with him is twofold. One, he's still making a ton of young quarterback mistakes, which a guy that has that little experience in the NFL and in college, like, how could you expect anything else? And the second thing is, you know, he has a little bit of that, you know, that gun shyness to him, where he kind of misses some open receivers at times. And that worries me too. I think his ball placement downfield is actually, it wasn't good last year. And of course I like looked up the PFF numbers and his accuracy plus that they do, where they actually judge the actual ball location, was not good. But I think that he actually has a pretty accurate ball and has a really good arm. But I think that the main thing is that from inside the pocket, he's just not seeing the full field progressions yet. And they really have to move him on bootleg actions or run RPO or do things to kind of spice it up for him, to kind of tell coverages and dictate coverages to him early on in the down so that he can beat guys that way. But in terms of just arm strength and fitting balls into tight windows, I mean, he's got that. You know, he's a good thrower of the football. I think that, you know, he hasn't necessarily taken a next step under Nagy quite yet, even though I think the rest of the offense is kind of elevating his play.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that last sentence, especially the rest of the offense elevating his play. I think he, like, this is an offense where a lot of quarterbacks could look better than they are.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when Trubisky got picked where he did with all the other quarterbacks on the board, a lot of people questioned it. And it is like when you're talking about sort of the safe throws and the easier reads, I feel like, you know, that's kind of, you know, I saw a lot of that at North Carolina too. You know, you don't get the sense from Trubisky that he's going to like take over a game.
Right.
You know, he's sort of just like a really good game manager.
With a ton of athleticism.
Yeah.
And arm talent too. Like he has the talent there, but yeah, a game manager that isn't going to take over the game, but can still put the ball in the right place when Nagy gives him wide open throws is, I think, you know, what we're seeing. And if you watch their tape, I mean, I watched the Tampa game just to kind of get a feel of what this offense looks like when it's, you know, clicking, when Trubisky's playing well. And, you know, there's just a lot of open receivers in that Tampa game, because obviously that Tampa defense is really, really bad. But I think that, you know, when Nagy can kind of help him get some open windows and get some big window throws, he's more than capable of seeing them and making those throws. But, you know, right now he's definitely still very far behind in kind of the details of going through his progressions and setting protections and doing all that kind of stuff that, you know, makes you wonder the quarterback's taken after him. You know, Patrick Mahomes is taken after him and a bunch of other guys. It just seems like, you know, at the time, it seemed like a reach and seemed like a weird pick. I think everybody, that was like kind of the shocker of the draft. It was them taking Trubisky that early. And now, you know, in hindsight, it kind of looks like one of those times where maybe everybody was not necessarily right, because I don't want to trash on him and think that his career is never going to, you know, blossom into anything or anything like that. But maybe everybody was kind of right that there was some better quarterbacks on the board at that point. I mean, it was Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, right, was in that draft. I mean, there was some better quarterbacks, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where I remember watching Trubisky in college and thinking, oh, like he can play in the NFL, but I never got that wow sense from him where you're watching him and like, wow, this dude's taking over the game.
Right.
And even in some of Mahomes' losses, I saw like, you watched him and you said, like, this guy's really got something.
Yeah.
And of course, Deshaun Watson, I mean, he obviously had a great team around him, but I mean, he beat Alabama, you know. I mean, that takes something special. And like, and it wasn't just that, it was, you know, the way his leadership was and stuff like that. You got a special feeling from those two guys and not so much from Trubisky.
Yeah, to wrap up the offense side of the ball for Chicago, just for the Patriots defense from that perspective, I think that the main key for this week is to work on shutting down some of those breakdowns and the zone coverages that they had against the Chiefs, because this Bears team is going to throw the ball deep. They're going to try to take the top off the defense. And last week, what happened, you know, we saw it, you know, Jason McCourty getting run by Kareem Hunt, and Tyreek Hill just running through zones with wide open space. There's a lot of what we saw really in week one of last year as well, where, you know, guys are just kind of running through zones and no one's touching them and they're wide open. I think this offense is going to present a lot of the similar schemes and a lot of the similar, you know, issues with playmakers stretching the field. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Patriots defense can, you know, this defense, especially the back end, you know, they have some speed in their own right. I don't want to, you know, say they're slow, but they definitely need to rely on their smarts more than their athleticism to succeed. You know, the McCourties, Harmon, Pat Chung, those guys are going to have to be smarter than the other teams. And I thought at times in the second half against Kansas City, they were not smart enough, obviously, because they didn't want to admit to them being coverage busts. But let's be honest, the two long ones to Hunt and Hill were coverage busts.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this defense has a lot to prove still. The offense is further along at this point, and that's just sort of an obvious statement. But, you know, like I said, you know, when you're facing an offense like this, that can get so many free runners open and receivers open and stuff like that, this just gives you a good chance to just test yourself and see how much further you've come.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball, where we're going to talk about Khalil Mack. He's been non-participant in practice for two straight days with an ankle injury, so the Patriots might actually catch a break and he might be out for this game. But knowing his history, he usually comes back in a limited capacity on Friday and somehow plays in the game on Sunday. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But I wanted to talk about kind of the two-headed monster that they have on the inside and the outside with Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack, because I think it really makes it difficult to just focus on one guy like the Patriots did when the Patriots played the Raiders last year with Khalil Mack, and he really didn't have a tag mate in that Raiders pass rush. I mean, Bruce Irvin is a solid player, but he's definitely at the wrong side of his career, and Akeem Hicks is really the best pass rusher that he has played with, I would say, in his career right now.
Yeah, I think the way I look at it, it's such a cliche, but when you have a pass rusher like Mack, the best way to sort of slow him down is to run at him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's a cliche, but I think the fact that the Patriots have such a like a burgeoning run game right now with Michelle, that it makes it so you can throw that into the game plan a little bit. You can say, okay, well, we're not going to have a predictable offense. We're not going to, you know, drop back 50 times a game and have more opportunities for Mac to just tee off on Brady. So, so I think when it comes to that, having Michelle just sort of come into his own like he's doing now is really going to be a big help. But obviously, you know, you can't like any single matchup with Khalil Mack because he's just the best in the game. So, you know, what they're going to have to do, obviously, is you know, get the ball out of Brady's hands quick, you know, run the ball at him and chip him as much as possible and give as much help to whoever's blocking him. So I think that's basically what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, so last year, they really didn't double him a whole lot. And I went back and charted. They only doubled him seven times in the entire game when he was rushing the passer. And Adrian Waddle just took him one-on-one a bunch of times and actually held up. And it was pretty unbelievable to watch the second time around. You know, you kind of don't think of Adrian Waddle as a, you know, elite right tackle, obviously. And he's out there. And he's, you know, Mack is winning his fair share of reps, don't get me wrong. But he's at least giving Brady enough time to get rid of the ball. But, you know, it's not like Mack was living in the backfield in the game. But the times when they did double him, it was strategic, right? It was they knew they were going to take a shot. They knew that they needed to hold the ball a little bit more. And I think that the issue that Belichick, I'm sure, sees with doubling is that it either does one of two things. It creates single matchups all over the rest of the offensive line, or it takes a receiver out of the pattern. So now you only have four receivers releasing downfield instead of five. So it's kind of a, you know, situation where you can't do it every down. Because you can't, you know, have a guy always, you know, out of the route pattern, and you can't single match up a lot of the other guys. I think that's where Akeem Hicks comes in and kind of puts a wrinkle in this, because, you know, he's going to be a type of guy that the interior of the Patriots offensive line is going to have their hands full with. And if you have to go constantly helping to the right side, or, you know, sliding protection or chipping or leaving a tight end to block on Khalil Mack, it's going to present a lot of one-on-one matchups for those three interior guys against Hicks. And Hicks is a great pass rusher and a guy that needs to be a force to be reckoned with in his own right. So I think that it's a tough kind of chess match there for Belichick and McDaniels and Dante Scarnecchia to kind of figure out, you know, how they can kind of apply all the resources that they need to all these Bears pass rushers that they have, because they have two really good ones. And some of the secondary guys that you might not think of aren't very good, like a Leonard Floyd or Eddie Goldman or Bullard or whatever. But those guys, when they have one-on-one matchups, can sometimes win those too. So, you know, it's an interesting – this Bears defense is really good, I think, on all three levels of the defense. So it's a very interesting puzzle to kind of solve for the Patriots. And I wanted to touch on the running game as well, as you mentioned, because I think that that's such a good starting point, A, to slowing down the pass rush, but B, this is the first time in the last 3 weeks or so where they've really faced an elite run defense. And Michelle has looked fantastic. And, you know, you and I are as high on Sonny Michelle as anybody. So, you know, we obviously love the guy. But the offensive line and Michelle have faced some really weak run defenses, especially that Kansas City run defense and the Indy run defense that we know that they've run all over in the past. So I think that this is the first real test of kind of the new look Sonny Michelle against a very good run defense.
Yeah, and I think the line has blocked really well. And I'll add, you know, what what we might need to see from Sony this game is getting the yards that aren't already there. So like, you know, he's done better with that lately with, you know, like a lot of the times some of these runs he's had lately, you know, he hasn't been touched until 5-6 yards down the field. And so you expect him to get those yards, but when he's going up against a better run defense, he's not always going to have those type of holes. So he's going to have to, you know, use his creativity in terms of his elusiveness and stuff like that a little bit more. And I think he can do that. I think that he just hasn't really shown that a ton yet, but he's somebody that, you know, when you watched in college, once he gets in the open field, he can really do some special things. And, you know, I feel like, you know, he's finally sort of acclimated himself to the speed of the pro game. And, you know, now that he's done that, I feel like he's got a little bit more confidence. Now, you know, when you step into a road environment and then, you know, it's a little bit more difficult, but, you know, I really feel like, he's not necessarily going to, you know, break off another 100-yard game per se, but, you know, he's the type of guy at this point where you can sort of trust that he's going to, you know, give you a competent running game. So, you know, I think it's very important in this game that he gives them at least that. So, especially with this Bears pass rush. So, you know, I think, you know, I'm not expecting him again to, you know, have a huge game, but, you know, even if he has, you know, what, you know, 60, 75 yards, whatever, I think that would get a passing grade from me.
Yeah, I think that it's a great test. Like we said, it was a great test for the defense to kind of show that they've shored up some of those coverages on the back. And it's a great test for this run offense to kind of show A, up front, that their blocking is not just against soft run defenses, that they can block good run defenders as well as bad run defenders. And also for Sony, like you said, you know, creating yards that aren't necessarily there in Jacksonville. You know, a lot of it was the situation and the loaded boxes and all the stuff that we've been talking about. But some of it also was just, you know, if it wasn't there, he was going down after, you know, first contact and 2 to 3 yards a carry. He needs to, you know, kind of prove in this game that he can get some of those extra yards, run hard like he's been doing, and also make some guys miss. I think that, you know, this type of game is, it's not necessarily, I don't think the Bears are, you know, Super Bowl contenders quite yet, but they're good enough on both sides of the ball where it presents like a really good test for the Patriots to see if they can go and beat a solid team on the road and kind of show that they've kind of fixed some of their issues against a team that could exploit them if they don't fix them. You know, if this run offense returns back to what we saw against Jacksonville and Detroit, this Bears defense can stop the run very well. They'll hold you to, you know, 80 yards on 3.5 yards a carry if you can't run the football. Just like the offense will put up big plays, you know, they'll get 3 touchdowns of 60 plus yards or whatever it was that the Kansas City Chiefs got. So, you know, I think it's a good test on both sides of the ball for the Patriots. It's obviously going to be a tough environment going to Chicago, playing there and playing an hour earlier than anticipated is something that I didn't think of for me personally. But this kickoff, you know, local time in Chicago is going to be at noon, not 1 o'clock. Yeah. So, you know, that energy thing, obviously they're going to have to be ready or a little bit earlier than usual too. So there's a lot of cool things going on in this game where the Bears aren't quite there yet, but they're there enough to kind of put some things to test for the Patriots. And I think that this could be a game where the Patriots still win the game, but we kind of come out of it saying, okay, they still have some stuff that they need to work on. Kind of like what Kansas City, you know, what happened last week against Kansas City.
Yeah. And one last point about Sony is when I talk about, you know, not him necessarily having a 125 yard type game, if he has 60 or 75, one of the, you know, biggest runs he's had this year was maybe the 2-yarder against Kansas City when it was 3rd and 1 on that last drive. Absolutely.
His short yardage running improved a lot. I mean, the Patriots as a whole improved short yardage a lot last week. And I think that was, out of all the runs, you know, Belichick always gets asked about Sony Michel, you know, yeah, after every single game. And out of all the runs he could have picked out, the short yardage ones were the ones that he went to immediately. He was like that third. Even Brady said it. You know, he was like, Brady said it, I was really happy that we picked up that third and one because that was what we, you know, had been working on all week. That's what we've really been trying to get at, because it's obviously so much easier to run the ball for 2 yards on third and one than it is to make Brady spread him out and pass for it. I mean, we saw the one that they did convert through the air was the deep ball to Chris Hogan. That's not what they want to do on third and one.
Right, no.
You know, like, they don't want to have to throw the ball 40 yards down the field to convert a third and one. If you can just turn and hand it to Sony and have him get 2 yards every single time, that's just, I mean, that, I think that that's almost, in Belichick's eyes and in my eyes, indicative of a good offensive football team.
Right.
Is when you can get that 1 yard. It kind of takes you back to the 2015 team in Denver when they couldn't run for that 1 yard and they had to pass for it, and it basically lost them the game.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I feel like, you know, if you can have a guy like that who picks up those third and shorts, because, you know, it essentially, this team for a long time has become a pass on third and short, even if it's, you know, third and one, third and two, third and three, that's a passing down for the Patriots usually. And if you can have a Sony Michel be the type of go-to guy there, like you have on a third and six with, you know, Edelman, or what it used to be with Amendola, or anybody like that, if you could have sort of somebody you can lean on situationally, then it makes things a lot easier for the rest of the offense.
Yeah, I think that's truly who they want to be, right? I mean, they want to be a power run team. They want to be able to impose their will on teams and kind of set the tone with the physicality up front. I mean, that's why they paid a guy like Shaq Mason $10 million a year. Right, because that's what they want their identity to be offensively. So it was great to see that, even against a weak run defense, it was still great to see them be able to pick up those tough yards. They did it not only on that 31 on the final drive, but they did it a bunch of times in that game. Second and shorts, third and shorts, picking up those first downs. Yeah, a lot of guys contributing. Devlin obviously had a massive game. Gronk, even Julian Edelman throwing some blocks in those short yardage situations. So all of those are good things to see, and hopefully continue moving forward. But I think that about does what we wanted to hit on. Yeah. But any other thoughts, you know, for this Bears team that we didn't touch on? One thing I just wanted to mention quickly was just passing the ball in the middle of the field. I think is going to be a big, you know, area of strength for the Patriots against this Bears defense. I'm going to write about it in my game plan this week. They give up almost 9 yards per attempt when teams target the middle, you know, area of the field between the hashes. Their linebackers have had some trouble, and they play their safeties pretty deep off the line of scrimmage, so you're able to kind of hit those throwing lanes right between the linebackers and safeties in their zones. And a guy, Danny Trevathan, the linebacker, is just like hemorrhaging passing yards to running backs right now. So I think that it'll be an interesting matchup to see. I think James White has some opportunities if they don't. I mean, the Chiefs were doubling James White. The book is out on James White, right? Like, the whole league knows that this guy is really good. So the Chiefs were kind of – Bob Sutton was like, all right, we're not letting James White beat us on these stupid little 5-yard outs that he picks up 20 yards on. They still were able to get him a few times on him, obviously. But, you know, they were doubling James White. That was the first time in the game I've ever seen a defense double-team James White out of the backfield.
Yeah, that was strange. And I think for me, the one final thing I'd like to see is I just want to see more Josh Gordon, you know, like his progression continue. He's got such great potential. He catches the ball so well, and he can do so many different things as far as stretching the field and all that. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he has another, you know, game where he gets a lot of targets or anything like that. So that'll be something that I'm going to be watching a lot.
Yeah, I wrote about him this week, and his route tree, not only did his workload increase, but his route tree just, they kind of threw the whole kitchen sink at Kansas City of what he's going to be. He ran 14 different routes. You know, he's running all sorts of different routes, and I thought that the box score didn't really do it justice of how much of an impact he really had on that game, whether it was the defensive pass interference that doesn't count as a catch, but really is a 37-yard completion. You know, we kind of learned that last year with Brandon Cooks, where those defensive pass interference calls are just as good as a completion sometimes. And also just, you know, taking safeties with him and taking coverage with him and doing all that kind of stuff. If they can start hitting on some of the little things that they missed, Brady underthrew a ball that I was almost intercepted where it was behind the defense, you know, little things like that. And obviously some things that Josh Gordon needs to iron out still as well. I think that, you know, you'll see the box score kind of reflect the performance on, you know, what you're seeing on tape. Obviously only had, you know, I think what, 45 receiving yards or something like that against Kansas City. So it wasn't this huge box score day for him. But I think that those days are coming. He's I think, you know, one of those rare receivers that they've had here where he has that size and possession ability, but he also has the ability to take the top off the defense. They haven't had a lot of guys. I mean, Cooks is obviously a speedster, but they haven't had a lot of guys that can do both of those things, you know, be a big body possession guy and, you know, go for 60 yards on a go ball, you know, having that kind of, you know, dynamic duo, you know, that both those skills, I think, is something that makes Josh Gordon rare for, you know, any receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely interesting to see him. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how Gronkowski is used too. It seemed like, you know, for most of that Kansas City game, everybody was asking where he was. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's making big play after big play in the second half. So
yeah, Josh Shaw in single coverage on the the final drive. It was good though to see him beat that coverage. Like obviously, Josh Shaw is a very favorable matchup to Gronk, but it was good to still be to see him beat the jam and get down the field and catch that pass and be so, you know, create so much separation in that matchup. Like he should, like an all-pro tight end should against that kind of matchup. So it kind of was the fourth quarter of that game was kind of a message of like, he still got it. You know, teams are just kind of taking him out of the game. And when they give him opportunities to make plays, he's still making plays. So yeah, that was great to see. All right, let's wrap it up. What do you have coming down the road, Mass Varsity? Probably a lot of good college games every week this Saturday in high school.
Yeah. This weekend on Friday night, tomorrow night, I'm going to be going to, Neshobet Wachusett. Those are two of the best teams in Central Mass. And then on Saturday afternoon, I'm going to see Coastal Carolina at UMass. UMass is coming off a bye. Coastal Carolina, I think, has the 17th best rush offense in the country, and UMass has, I think, the third worst rush defense in the country. So it'll be an opportunity for UMass to show how far they've come along in that area. And this is another one of those games that at the beginning of the season they checked off as, or you should check off as a UMass fan, as a game that they should win. So I think, you know, we'll see if it's one of those shootouts again. You know, they had one with South Florida that was, what, 58-42. So, you know, hopefully, you know, for UMass they can, you know, find a way to, you know, keep these scores down a little bit and give themselves a chance to win.
Very cool. That UMass team is like I've been saying all year. It's like flying under the radar, but they're a solid team that has some good players on it that I enjoy watching. Along with BC too, who is kind of going through a rough patch right now, if I'm not mistaken. But hopefully they can start pulling out some wins. But on CLNS Media, check out my game plan. If you're listening to this on after Friday, which I'm assuming everybody will be, you can listen, you know, go read that on clnsmedia.com, Patriots game plan every single week. Did the Josh Gordon thing I mentioned, that's up there as well as some other stuff on the Bears. So make sure to check that out. And I will also be traveling to Chicago for the game, which is pretty cool. And so I'll be there on Sunday to watch the Patriots and the Bears. And then next week, I'm hoping that we're going to get some Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. He's hurt right now, obviously, with that elbow injury, but I hope he's back because I want to see him play. And I think it's going to be really a fun matchup up there in Buffalo against a team that, you know, year in and year out, they kind of get slept on last year, same as this year. And you know, last year they squeaked into the playoffs, and you never know with this team this year still anyways. And their defense, I think, is still very much legitimate. They started off the season pretty slow, but now the Bills defense is kind of returning to what we saw last year. And there's some juicy matchups in that one. I mean, we have Gronk versus Tre'Davious White again after all the incidents last year in that game. So some fun things. And obviously whenever the Patriots go up to Buffalo, and this one's a prime timer on Monday Night Football, you know, those fans are always just crazy. And there's obviously a lot of hate towards the Patriots up there. So that's going to be a fun one too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Great. So we'll be back next week to break down the Bills and obviously touch on this Bears game a little bit too at the beginning of the show. But until then, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.